Twitter is Daisy Sabarajan, and she will be speaking to us. Her talk is entitled "Seeing the Invisible in the Light of the Bible: The Impact of Faith Integration on the Personal Faith of Students." Let's welcome Daisy.
Thank you, and good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
I am super excited, believe it or not, to share my findings on this little research study that I did on my own students to find out the impact of faith integration on their personal faith. And I'll jump into the topic. I'll start with giving you a brief overview of who we are at GCU. Has anyone heard about Grand Canyon University? Yes. So we are a missional community, which means students from all different faiths and different backgrounds are welcome. And we were a Christian university, but we were not intentional in integrating our faith. In fact, at one point, faculty were asked to check out their faith at the door before they entered the classroom. But then, change of leadership, we had this faith integration initiative, which was launched in the year 2014. At that point, people used to wonder, like, what is this all about? And right now, I'm going to share the results of what exactly happened when we started intentionally integrating faith. And the strategy that the university has adopted in integration of faith and learning is to incorporate the Christian worldview both at the curricular as well as the instructional level. And it enables students to understand Christian beliefs, even if they are non-Christians. It'll also help equip them to engage the world with a sense of vocational calling in their future careers. And then the Christian worldview, according to our foundational documents, it encompasses these four foundational tenets: creation, that is, God has created everything, and then man's disobedience and sin led to the fall, that it caused suffering and death, and then God himself is redeeming us from that fallen state through his son Jesus Christ, and ultimately he will restore all of his creation to that state of perfection one day in the near future. And this is the context of my research project. It has to do with higher education. If you know, religion was an integral part of higher education until the late 19th century. But the past several decades has seen a very subtle shift towards secularization. And with the advancement of science, science did play a very significant role in secularization, where Christian schools themselves started distancing themselves, and they relegated religion as a personal matter instead of a public practice. And in an attempt to not offend anyone, they rejected their religious historical roots. And always, the result of a phenomenon is seen in retrospect. And it was the case in secularization as well, where we suddenly started seeing rise in atheism. Many in the National Academy of Sciences, they clearly reject a belief in God or a higher power. And for many of these scientists, this unbelief centers on the issue of human origin. And then, to make matters worse, young people, that is Christian students, could not stand the storms of intellectual skepticism. As a result, Christian students started abandoning their faith. They lost their faith. Of course, there are several reasons for losing faith, but then science, again, seems to play a very critical role for students to reject their faith. This is the goal of my research. As schools, in response to secularization, started an intentional pursuit of integrating faith into all academic disciplines, several studies were published on integration of faith and learning, but not enough scholarship has been devoted to explore the impact on the spiritual growth of students learning science. And so the purpose of this study is to understand how Christian worldview develops in the microbiology course and how faith integration and learning affects the personal faith of students. This was the research question that I set out to address in my research. What is the impact of integration of faith and learning on the personal faith of students in the science class? And I did a little survey at the end of every course, and from the students' responses, the results were extracted to determine whether IFL, that is integration of faith and learning, enhanced students' ability to articulate the Christian worldview within the context of microbiology, and whether IFL strengthened their personal faith in Jesus Christ. This is the research methodology that I adopted. It was a qualitative descriptive study design where you have quantitative data for statistical results and the qualitative data to help explain or elaborate on the quantitative results. The population sample were my own students taking microbiology course while preparing for healthcare and science careers. The format of my survey was open-ended questions at the end of course, and these were the two questions that I used to pose. Did the integration of faith and science strengthen your personal faith in Jesus Christ? They had to respond yes, no, or no, it just remained same. And then the second part of that question was they had to explain their responses by giving examples. And I'm going to show you some examples of how I went about integrating faith in my class. This is an example of Christian worldview in biology. So when we teach about the origin of life, we always teach evolution, and this is straight out of the textbook. Earth was formed about 4.5 billion years ago. Life on Earth originated in water as single cells, and then slowly evolved into higher life forms to include terrestrial plants, animals, primates, and then eventually humans. They evolved from primates around 5 million years ago. And the textbook on the same note concludes, we will never know for sure, of course, how life on Earth began. And this is a secular biology textbook that we follow. And then I introduce the Christian worldview. According to the creation account in the Bible, God has created everything according to its kind in 6 days. Man was created in the image of God. How do we know? None of us seen it because none of us were there when this happened. But then it is by faith we believe that he exists and understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. What we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. And that's from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 and 13. This is an example of how I incorporate the Christian worldview in microbiology. The very first introductory chapter, where we talk about the origin of microorganisms. We have these two conflicting theories, theory of spontaneous generation, also known as abiogenesis, which states that life can arise spontaneously from non-living matter. And then according to biogenesis, life begets life. And then we go over Louis Pasteur's famous swan neck flask experiment that demonstrated that only living microorganisms can give rise to living organisms. And that once and forever settled the controversy concerning the origin of microorganisms. And this was also supported by Rudolf Virchow's cell theory that states that all cells come from pre-existing cells. At this point, I pause and I throw this question at them. Who do you think is the source of all life? 86% of our student population come from Christian homes, so everybody responds, God is the source of all life. And then I support it with this scripture, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, and John chapter 1, verse 3. This is how I introduce the Christian worldview when it comes to microorganisms and the diseases they cause. If God is good, why did he create bad bugs? And when exactly did God create these microbes? Because everything that he created was good, and microbes are bad. Did they evolve later on, after the fall? Students gave very interesting responses, and this is the biblical perspective that they are taught. God created everything in 6 days, and everything was very good. How do we know? The Bible tells us so. Microbes were originally designed to perform beneficial functions as long as they were in their designated places. And that's how there was perfect harmony with the rest of creation. The Bible tells us about the consequences of man's disobedience, that is sin and suffering. There is a very specific scripture that says thorns and thistles began to grow on soil that was meant for cultivating plants for food. That is from Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Similarly, due to uncontrolled growth, microorganisms started to spread to places where they were not meant to be. Example, sterile organs. And that's how they became harmful in order to survive, which then caused disease and death. This is an example of Christian worldview where I try to engage my class in healthcare ethics. And this was very challenging for me personally. The case study was physician-assisted suicide. And this was in the news of a hospital for sick children that unveiled a plan of terminating the lives of terminally ill children with or without parental consent. I asked my students, do you agree or disagree? And then they'll have to formulate their response with their take on this ethical issue. Guess what? 81% of my students agree with this. And when I read their responses, some of them had dilemmas. They were confused. Like, how do you call it ethical when we try to extend life and put sick children on some of these painful procedures? And are we not playing God when we try to extend life through all of these procedures? And so what I try to do is point out, which do you think is ethical or unethical, to treat and extend life or to terminate and snuff off life? Which do you think is ethical or unethical, to care for life or to kill life? That helps them see, and they are able to distinguish between what is ethical and unethical. And I provide them with the scripture support. Everyone must be familiar with this. The Lord has told you what is good. This is what he requires of you to do. What is right, to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. This is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And what I tell my students is that sometimes even when human reasoning seems right, it requires humility when we do what is right and good, not according to our wisdom, but what is right and good according to God. And so, when it comes to healthcare ethics, it's always important that we always care and never kill. And now I'm going to dive into the results of my survey. The first question was, does IFL enhance students' ability to articulate the Christian worldview within the context of microbiology? So I took the survey for 3 consecutive years, starting 2016, and then 2017, 2018. These were 6 survey results, 2 semesters each, and the total sample size was 489 students, so more than 400 responses. Of that, 272 were able to express and articulate aspects of the Christian worldview. 56%, that is, articulated the aspects of Christian worldview and its application to science and future career. And this is one of the student responses. Learning about pathogens and discussing the question of God is good, why did he create harmful microorganisms, helped me strengthen my faith. I was able to relate it to real life, when sometimes I wonder, why do such bad things happen? It's not God who is creating bad, but it's because human sin, and God, in fact, finds a way to turn evil into good. And about the ethics, this was a student comment. It helped me develop deeper critical thinking, where sometimes even medical ethics might not be right, and the Christian worldview may take a different stance. So the second question was to find out if IFL had any impact on the personal faith of my students in the science class. Out of 489 respondents, 371 came up with an overwhelming yes, and 35 said that it didn't make any difference. 35 said no, it did not impact their faith. 83 were neither, or their faith remained the same. And that is a sample size of 76% that said that yes, it did strengthen their personal faith, because as Christians, they were able to see through the lens that relates to God and His creation. They were able to learn the biblical perspective of biology, and then it helped them to devote themselves and pursue science while remaining a devout Christian, and it has made me more confident and comfortable in my relationship with God. The 24% that said no, it did not have any impact on them, it was not negative. They said that even though it did not strengthen their personal faith in Jesus, it did strengthen their faith in a creator God. And there's a very interesting comment from a Buddhist student. It helped the students see how Christians understand God and His creation, and how it helped her understand and respect Christianity. And this is from a Catholic student, where the student said that even though their worldview is different from the Christian worldview, it helped her to be more open-minded to the Christian worldview. And then we also had some students who do not necessarily follow any religion. They were able to see how faith integration helped them for their future career. And one of them said, no, it has not strengthened or increased my faith, but it has rather reassured my faith. Other significant findings, where we had students that came in as skeptics, but then they became believers. And then we had students who said that my faith was always shaky, and it did comfort them when they saw that God created everything with a certain purpose, and He has meaning and purpose for their lives. And also, this was something very encouraging to me personally, because sometimes when we integrate faith and we throw out scriptures, students feel coerced. But then students in my class did not feel pressure, or it was not overbearing or forceful. Based on the student responses, our analysis reveals IFL in higher education requires both consistency and coherence. Consistency has to do with relationships, about a relationship between learning new and what is already known, and coherence is to have a whole coherent knowledge that fits together to make a whole unit. And IFL fosters critical thinking of scientific theories while enabling students to remain rooted in their foundational Christian faith. And the third thing that we found out was IFL, by faculty role modeling, inspires students to integrate faith in school and in their future vocational callings. And this is reflected in this student response, where the student writes that it has helped her for her future career as a pediatric nurse and inspired kids with my love for Christ, as Daisy does for her students. The implications of the findings are that faculty are still considered the primary influence in the integration of faith and learning. And one of the student responds says that one of the reasons I chose to attend GCU is because in a predominantly science field, it is easy to be swept away by professors at non-Christian universities. And effective integration occurs when the instructor is a subject matter expert in the academic discipline and also grounded in the Christian worldview. And the student responds addresses that. Having professors teach with a Christian foundation has shown me the truth of God throughout science. She has asked them ethical questions that make you state your morals and stances on certain touchy topics, but I like how she always backs up her responses to the questions with the Bible. And then the third thing was perfect and holistic integration of faith and learning requires humility, and it's not easy. However, it can be accomplished when faculty rely on God rather than their own wisdom. Humility is a significant factor in what makes for excellent integrated college teaching. What are my conclusions? IFL in science influences spiritual growth of students. It affirms the faith, the Christian faith of students who come from Christian backgrounds. Faith flourishes and grows stronger. Students, both Christians and non-Christians, gain an understanding of the Christian worldview of microbiology, that is the theoretical, ethical, and applied aspects. It enables students to learn both from scriptural as well as from scientific point of views rather than pitting one view against the other. Learning science through the lens of scripture helps students connect the dots. They can see how scientific endeavors contribute to stewardship of God's creation and causes human flourishing. And the IFL strategy adopted by my school helped develop good analytical and critical thinking skills as students learn how Christian worldview, number one, supports or differs from the accepted professional code of ethics, and number two, it established boundaries in scientific research and its application. And before I end, I want to leave you on this note. When integration of faith and learning occurs in its truest sense, it results in transformation of self and society. This is a cool experiment that we do in the micro lab. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, where we take dull-looking E. coli, we get the glowing gene from jellyfish, and then this spiegel plasmid is inserted into the E. coli, and then students just enjoy looking at these glowing E. coli babies that got transformed. Inward transformation results in outward expression. We cannot piggyback on the faith of our parents because faith cannot be inherited or it cannot be handed down. It always results as the transformational work of God's Spirit in the life of students. Faith always comes from hearing God's word. And when we incorporate the Christian worldview by means of scripture and prayer, it transforms students that are able to identify areas, and hopefully they will be able to discern God's purpose of restoring his image in others through their vocational calling. And thank you very much.
I want to thank you for your presentation and your passion for reaching out to students like that. It's very good. I'm just curious whether this endeavor is something that the university encouraged and whether there's other disciplines on the university that take a similar approach in natural sciences.
Yes, like I mentioned at the very beginning, the university initiated this integration around 2014, and we have already incorporated the Christian worldview in 30% of all our courses in every major, in every program. So it is university-wide.
I see that you tackle one really difficult theological and philosophical question with these kids, which is sort of, you know, the bad guts issue. Did you bring in, I guess I'm already wrong on that. When I bring up those really hard questions with kids, bad things happening to good people, if God's loving, you know, I wrote about this, right? The big difficult questions. That seems to distract my kids from the biology, and they start focusing on their faith, and then they go off on weird tangents, and did you experience any challenges with that? Did you bring in a theologian or philosopher to help them talk through that? You tackled the heart, not just biology stuff. You went right for the heart of some theological and philosophical challenges, if God's good. Can you say anything about that?
So, no, it was not challenging for me. We don't spend a whole lot of time on the theology part because, you know, we have so much stuff to cover. I make it very brief but very pointed, and most importantly, I give them very relevant scriptures. So when you give them scripture, they just accept it. And for most of my students, they already know it. So when I bring it up to them, it just confirms what they already know. So, yes.
Is this I admire your approach in supporting these kids. You know, some of my Sunday school kids in North Dakota are going to Grand Canyon, so I hope they have you as a teacher. Is there any concern that this approach is teaching the kids that the Bible is a source of science information, and to perpetuate what I think is maybe a risky idea that the Bible teaches us science?
Well, we make sure that. So this is how our strategy is of how we go about integrating faith. We make sure that the kids are competent to express the scientific theory or scientific viewpoint, and they also know the biblical perspective. So we make sure that the students know that the Bible is not a science book. So they have their own secular science books, and they can get all the information and knowledge. And the university's strategy is to, faith integration is infusing and joining together both these bodies of knowledge, the knowledge of universe and the knowledge of God, both of them. So we make sure that the students know this, and they go out from our classes knowing that, no, Bible is not a science textbook. And yeah, does that make sense?
A little bit, but the issue of explanation for pathological actions of bacteria or viruses was attributed to sin. So then your understanding of biological processes is meant to be interpreted from scripture.
Well, one thing that I always make sure I do is I interpret scripture with scripture. I don't bring in my own interpretation, and the students are able to see that, and they appreciate it, and that's what they say in my their responses. So say, for example, if you take the book of Leviticus, you have all these rituals and regulations of ceremonial cleansing and purification. So I ask my students, now you're a microbiologist, why do you think God had all these laws and rules? And sometimes in today's world, we frown on them. But do you understand from a microbiology point of view that God was right in protecting and preserving life, and all of that had to, like, you don't touch someone who had a skin disease, or they were excommunicated from society? Because in today's time, if someone had Ebola, would you go and hug them? Would you allow them to stay with their families? So that's how we try to integrate scripture, not taking scripture to interpret science. Is that a little more clear? Yes. Responses they said, like, when if it came to them directly, then it will not be that simple. But at least they know that the Bible has answers for almost every. I personally believe that there's nothing under the sun to which the Bible doesn't have an answer. It only needs how you see it and your viewpoint. So no, students, don't leave my class thinking that it's all black and white and you have easy answers for everything. Yeah.